Good Monday to you and the beginning of September, my Walking with Jesus friends. If you have to, can you stretch your groceries to last a long time? Can you cut back to two or even one meal a day? Could you reduce from several thousand calories to only a few hundred calories a day if you had to? I think that's what was happening with Jacob and his very large family of about 70 people in between Genesis chapter 42 and 43. Why? Because they were in the midst of a severe famine, eating food his sons had gone to Egypt to purchase several weeks before, and Jacob was in no rush to see that food supply diminished. Why? Because the Egyptian official who sold them this food had warned them not to return, seeking more food without bringing their youngest brother they had spoken about. That youngest brother was Benjamin, the only remaining son of deceased Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife. Jacob was fearful that if he allowed Benjamin to be taken to Egypt, he'd never again see this son he loved so much. But as I hope we've all learned, there is always more to the story than we know. Neither Jacob, nor his sons who had gone to get Egyptian food, nor their brother Simeon, being held as collateral in an Egyptian prison, knew the true identity of that Egyptian official who had issued that stern warning. But God knew. Those three words are among the most powerful in the English language, and they sure apply here. Does the fact that God always knows everything sustain you in times when you are beside yourself with fear or worry? Finally, the food ran out, and the brothers insisted they take Benjamin with them to Egypt for more food. Jacob was greatly reluctant, but finally agreed, looking into the faces of his hungry family. I noticed something significant in Genesis 43. Jacob is referred to as Israel three times in verse 6, 8, and 11. You'll recall God had given Jacob that name at Bethel in Genesis chapter 35, but rarely did he or others use that name. Why here and now? I think it may be because the covenant lineage God promised with that name change was hanging in the balance here. If Jacob, Israel, did not trust God by sending Benjamin along for more food, they might all starve to death. Benjamin was an important part of that covenant lineage promise, as was Simeon, Joseph, and all of Jacob's sons. It was time for Jacob to trust God with his children. Have you and I done that, my friends? Have we fully entrusted our children to God and then done all we could to help them know God and learn to carefully follow God's leading in their lives? Genesis 43 tells us the brothers arrived in Egypt and found themselves standing before that same scowling Egyptian official who had warned them not to return without their youngest brother. Amazingly, the brothers were escorted to Joseph's private home and told they'd be having lunch with that Egyptian official. Frightened, they tried to explain to the Egyptian steward escorting them that they had brought back the money they had paid for the grain the last time, but found in their grain sacks, and they had brought gifts from their father, and more money to buy more food for their starving families. The steward smiled and shocked them with his reply, "Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver the last time." Genesis 43, verse 23. The steward was explaining that it was he who put their money back in their sacks, and their God was working something very special. Then the steward brought out Simeon from the prison where he'd been held, and all the brothers watched as food was brought out to the tables. The Egyptian official, Joseph, then arrived home, and the brothers all bowed down to the ground in fear. As he looked at the youngest, the Egyptian official asked, we presume through an interpreter, is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? And overwhelmed with emotion, Joseph rushed out of the room to a private place where he could weep for joy, having seen his blood brother for the first time in more than 20 years. After washing his face and regaining his composure, Joseph returned and ordered that the food be served. It's interesting to notice the seating arrangement. Joseph, as an Egyptian official, was served apart from all the others, but also the Egyptians and the Hebrew brothers were served separately. And the brothers were seated in birth order, while Benjamin was given a huge portion of food more than the others. Apparently, no explanation was given, but the brothers were astonished. True to his word, the Egyptian official, Joseph, released Simeon to return home with all his brothers, and their sacks were filled with grain, according to Genesis 44. But what the brothers didn't know is that once again Joseph was testing their integrity, for he had instructed his steward to put his silver cup in the sack of the youngest brother before they left. The next day, Joseph sent his steward after them. When he found the brothers, the Egyptian steward accused them of stealing his master's silver cup, which of course they denied. But the cup was found in Benjamin's sack, and they were brought back to stand in judgment before Joseph. That moment, my friends, was not only a very significant moment in Israel's history, it's a picture of the day each of us will stand before God in accountability. God knows everything about each of us, and in that judgment moment, most people will fearfully make excuses and plead their case. That's what the brothers did with Judah as their spokesman. Joseph stood sternly before them in his Egyptian royal garments and his Egyptian attendants at his side. The brothers were totally at his mercy. Time stood still. Genesis 45 is one of the most amazing chapters in the Bible as Joseph revealed his true identity to his astonished brothers. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine, but for 5 more years there will be no plowing or reaping. God sent me ahead of you to save your lives. So it was not you who sent me here, but God." Genesis 45. Can you say that about where you live or work or are a student? Did God place you there for his purposes and his glory? We don't know how long it took the brothers to really believe what they were seeing and hearing, but we do know word quickly went all the way to the Pharaoh's palace. Pharaoh was a man of action and deeply grateful for how Joseph had helped him, so he sent word back to Joseph that Joseph should invite all his brothers and their families to leave famine-stricken Canaan and move to Egypt, in fact, to the very best of the land, immediately. So Joseph's brothers returned home with empty carts ready to fill them with all their belongings and move Jacob and his entire clan to Egypt to survive the famine, Genesis 45. When Jacob heard the unbelievable news and saw the Egyptian carts ready to help him move, he was overwhelmed. As they each and all lay down for that night after they first arrived home, what can you imagine they each were learning about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What has this remarkable story taught you and me about God and how he is sovereign over all, working all the details of his great purposes in our world? I urge us to pause here and look closely at our lives to see God's direct involvement and thank God today for what he is doing even now to accomplish his great purpose in your life and mine. And tomorrow we'll continue with the grand narrative and a very exciting turn of events. Again, I remind you there are additional study notes and some video shorts on the grand narrative link just below, and I'll see you tomorrow.